Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent, 2009. A reading from the book of the prophet Micah. Thus says the Lord, "You, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God. And they shall remain, for now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
O Shepherd of Israel, hearken. From your throne upon the cherubim, shine forth. Rouse your power, and come to save us.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine, and protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man, whom you yourself made strong.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved.
May your help be with the man of your right hand, with the Son of Man, whom you yourself made strong. Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life, and we will call upon you.
Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocaust and sin offerings you took no delight." Then I said, "As it is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God." First he says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will we have been consecrated, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And Dawn, you were saying that there's some baking going on where you are right now.
Yes, some of the people on our staff take a half a day each Advent season and do a whole bunch of baking and then do Christmas cookie exchange.
And they have my address, right?
So they can send the cookies to.
If not, I know the office does because they're always forwarding my mail that still gets sent out there.
Yeah, so I am recording this amidst the smell of, well, I think they're now doing like shortbread cookies or something.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Well, that sounds good. I know you said you were a little under the weather, too.
Yeah,
so,
you know.
Never know. Maybe a cookie will make you feel better. You never know. Or it could make it worse.
I think I might leave that one for a while.
But anyways, we've got these readings today to discuss here. And of course, we've got the visitation in the Gospel where Mary goes out and visits Elizabeth, who is her relative. Usually we say it's her cousin, usually, who's supposedly older, and she is pregnant as well. And this is kind of a miracle because she was supposed to be barren and everything.
Right.
And here she is, and she's pregnant. Her son, of course, will be John the Baptist, as we all know. He's kind of an important player in this whole thing. We've been hearing from him the last few weeks, actually, and now we're going to right before he was born. And there's this recognition from Elizabeth, right when she sees Mary, it's, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." You know, those lines sound familiar, don't they, Dawn?
Yeah, I can't think of where I've heard them before.
And so a lot of times, you know, it's one of these interesting things. A lot of times people, as Catholics, you know, we have this reputation for not using scripture a lot or something like that. But a lot of our prayers really are scripture. I mean, even in the Mass, when you look at the Mass, it's scripturally based. A lot of those prayers that we pray in there, the Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, only say the word and I shall be healed, is based on the centurion who says that when Christ was on his way to his house, and he says, I'm not worthy to have you into my house, just say the word and I know my daughter will be healed. And this here is another one where we've got the Hail Mary, and it's mostly a scriptural prayer. The Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, of course, is Gabriel's greeting. And then, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, is Elizabeth's greeting to her. So these are two biblical greetings used for Mary that we use in this prayer.
You know, the first time I realized that, I was, I don't know, late teens probably, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. That's really cool.
So really what we're doing is we're greeting Mary with the same greetings that that scriptural people greeted her with.
Right.
And then, of course, she talks about how she recognizes Mary as the mother of her Lord. I think that's a powerful thing, because to have that revelation before he's even born, mm-hmm. to come from somebody from the outside, they know who it is that's in her womb. That's got to be, you know, just an amazing revelation to realize that, you know, my cousin is pregnant with the... with God, with, you know, and to have that, and to have that humility to come to that greeting. The other thing, though, too, that I think is really shown in this gospel, probably more so for the people who were living around the time that it was written, is really the humble origins of Jesus. He comes from a real humble setting, and it kind of goes back to that first reading where we have, Bethlehem, too small to be among the clans of Judah. So it's not even one of the tribes. You know, there's not a tribe of Bethlehem.
Right.
But from this little, you know, podunk city, if you will, or podunk town, comes the one who will be the ruler of Israel. And, you know, in our society, we've seen this happen over and over again. So it's kind of, you know, someone from small town, you know, makes it big. And we're kind of used to hearing that it's, in some sense, it's even part of the American success story. But for the people of Israel, that wasn't the way it was. You couldn't go from a small town person to being a ruler or something like that. The rulers came from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. That was the end of the story. There was no, you know, you can come from this humble origin and then, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps or anything like that, or work your way up and become, you know, this great leader as we kind of hold in our American ideal. Well, really, that's not really an American ideal. It comes from Christianity, from scripture right here, that Bethlehem, the lowest city or one of these small little cities that people would consider insignificant, from there is going to come the leader of Israel, the Redeemer, the one who will shepherd the flock. And I think that's something for us to kind of remember. When you hear all these stories about Christianity being dead or insignificant or something, a lot of our American culture really is based on Christianity, whether or not, you know, people want to welcome religion into the public sphere or anything like that. It's there. It's ingrained into who we are.
And, you know, just to take that, I don't know if it's a little bit further, but to spin off that, I should say.
Okay.
I got to thinking about how the Greek Orthodox Church calls Mary the Theotokos, or there's various pronunciations. I'm probably doing it poorly, mm-hmm. but basically it means the God-bearer,
mm-hmm.
and that's, it's not just Mary's job to bear God, because, I mean, in Jesus that was the literal sense, but we're all called to be that Theotokos, to bear God to the world around us. And so when you were just saying about bringing religion to the public sphere, well, we can do that ourselves. It doesn't necessarily have to be that there has to be a prayer that's given at the beginning of every meeting. But if we are living our lives bearing witness to the Savior, then that's what it's really about.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Dawn, just to kind of further develop that, the term Theotokos, it's not just used by the Greek Orthodox. It's used by the Roman Catholic Church as well. And it was actually a term that came, like you said, means God-bearer, but it was a point of debate in early Christianity that had to be resolved by one of our councils, the council, gosh, which one was it that did it? I think it was Constantinople that... No, hold on. I'm wrong on that. But it was Ephesus. It was it was Ephesus, where Nestorius had he was somebody who's noted now as a heretic, but he had said that we can't call Mary the Theotokos. We can call her the Christotokos, which is the bearer of Christ, but not the bearer of God. And so the issue is Mary the mother of God or the mother of Christ? And it became a point of contention, because when you say just that she's the bearer of Christ, you implicitly are saying that Christ is somehow different from God. And what was being settled is, no, Christ is God. So you can call her, I mean, you can call her the Christotokos too, but she's also the mother of God and the bearer of God into our world, not just Christ, who is the anointed one. So Christ means anointed one, but she is the bearer of God into our world. And so we use that when we call Mary Mother of God in our prayers, you know, Holy Mary, going back to that Hail Mary again, you know, Holy Mary Mother of God. This is something coming out of the tradition. You don't find it in the Bible or anything, which is why it was a point of debate in the early church. You know, who is she? Is she the Mother of Christ or the Mother of God? But that's something that comes out of the tradition. And pretty much, I think, most Christians, whether they're Catholics or Protestants, do refer to Mary as the God-bearer, the Theotokos, because we do hold that Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity, so he is indeed God. And so you're right, though, but your point is well taken, though, that, you know, Mary is the mother of God in a very literal sense, but there's a sense, too, in which we who have received the Holy Spirit in our baptisms and have been grafted to Christ have to make Christ manifest in the world. We don't bear Christ in the same way that Mary did. We're not going to give physical birth to God, especially me. I hope not. One of my fears is being pregnant. No.
Okay, next topic.
That's right. No, giving birth, it never sounds fun to me. Anyway, you know, we don't have to do it in that sense, but we do have to make Christ present in the world. I mean, our job as Christians, our job as the church, is to be the presence of Christ in the world. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the job of the church. And so you're right, we do have to be aware of that and say, how is it that we make God present in the world today? How is it we make Christ present in the world today? And there's many ways this is done. Of course, we do it in the sacrament, especially Eucharist, but also in the way we live our individual lives has to be a witness to that. It has to be a witness where people can look at us and, like Elizabeth, recognize immediately. I mean, people will be like Elizabeth, who could immediately recognize that we're bringing God into the world. If they can't do that, we've done something wrong. If they look at us and say, wow, you look just like everybody else I know, that's not good. You know, we want them to look at us and say, wow, you're really bringing Christ into the world. You're really bringing God into the world. And that's what it is that we as Christians are called to. And Dawn, I can see we're coming to the end of our podcast, and hopefully people have learned something today. I know we've thrown some Greek at them. Hopefully it wasn't all Greek to them. Hopefully they'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. And hopefully they'll have a great Christmas, too. Have a good week, and God bless.